chapter 17 this evening, Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read a few verses from this chapter about fasting, and we're going to do a study this evening on the subject of fasting, and it's something that we don't often consider, but fasting is mentioned in the Bible many, many times. Fast appears nearly 20 times, and sometimes it's about holding fast, but most of those times it's about a fast in the context of fasting. The word fasting actually occurs 17 times in the Bible, and we'll see a few of those times when it is mentioned and what the Bible says about fasting. Let's read Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 and following. The Bible says that this man, a certain man, came and knelt down to Christ and said, "Lord," in verse 15, "have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic." It's funny. I've been to meetings before where a pastor stood up and introduced himself and he said, this is my life verse. Lord, this is my son, he's a lunatic. he's sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And most people understand that there seems to be a situation that requires fasting. And so it's not uncommon to imagine that the saints should practice fasting today. This word means abstinence from food for religious reasons or for other reasons. And Christ said this type of situation is not remedied except by prayer and fasting. Now look with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, and this says essentially the same thing. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. He said to them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." And then in Acts chapter 10, this is a great passage of scripture in Acts chapter 10, where this man, Cornelius, and we'll get back to this and visit this verse again in just a minute, but in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Cornelius said, four days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." And so here is a man. We conclude that this is a common and important doctrine practice. Now look at a couple of Old Testament references. For example, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them." And then in the book of Esther, we read of fasting as well. In Esther chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes." And there are other Old Testament references to fasting as well. For example, in Psalm 109, and there are several of them, but in Psalm 109, verse 24, here the Bible says in Psalm 109:24, "My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness." we conclude that this is an important doctrine. What does the Bible say about this? And should saints today be participating in this kind of ministry, in fasting? And we understand the importance of prayer, but fasting is not a subject that we always would want to consider because we love our creature comforts. We love our food, don't we? And to imagine doing without food for any purpose kind of strikes us the wrong way. But there are some biblical reasons for fasting and praying that I want us to consider just for the next few minutes this evening. Are you here? Are you with me? All right, good. I'm glad I see you. I see you, but sometimes it feels like there's nobody home. I'm glad you're with me tonight. First of all, we should realize that fasting is a way to supercharge, as it were, and that's a term that I've sort of adapted for this purpose. It's a way to supercharge our prayer life. I think that fasting adds strength to our prayers. And turn with me in your Bible to, we've already read Matthew 17:21, where Jesus said, "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." And why does this seem to be the case in Mark 9:29? The same principle is repeated. Does God want to know how serious we are? And is that really an issue? I think it could be. How serious are you about this? How important is this to you? Is it so important to you that you would deny your flesh? Does he want us to demonstrate how important something is to us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible speaks of people who were devoted and dedicated to serving the Lord, but verse 8 says, in 2 Corinthians 8:8, the Bible says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." When do we need to prove the sincerity of our love? Is prayer time when we give ourselves to prayer and also to fasting? Is that a time when we prove the sincerity of our love, the sincerity, the intensity of our concern? And I believe that's one of the things that fasting does. It's a way to supercharge our prayer life. It's a way for us to show God that we mean business. And it's a real burden to us, and so our intake of food takes a lesser priority. There in Acts chapter 10, we read verse 30 just a couple minutes ago, where Cornelius was fasting because he wanted to know how to be saved. And this was so important to him. And if someone were to ask Cornelius, you know, were you actually denying yourself? I think he would probably say, denying myself. I wasn't even hungry. I just needed to know how to get saved. And so I was praying and fasting. It was a matter of showing God that he meant business. He showed how serious he was about this. It's legitimate to fast because we need an answer from the Lord about something, and that gives legitimacy to fasting. I think that's a reason, a biblical reason for fasting. I believe it's an expression of deep concern. I think it's possible, as I said a moment ago, I think it's possible for a person to actually lose his appetite or her appetite because of a deep concern about a prayer matter. And you've been in emotional turmoil at times when your spouse said, "It's supper time, you want to eat?" "No, I'm not hungry." That's happened to all of us at times, where we lost our appetite because we were so burdened and concerned about something. And I think that fasting can be defined in those terms, an expression of deep concern. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says, "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent, for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer." and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And he's talking about husbands and wives under deep burden, fasting and praying because they're so burdened about something. They really need an answer from God, and so they're not just praying, but they're also fasting and praying. In Acts chapter 27, verse 33, we see another example of fasting and somebody fasting because they're intensely concerned about something. In Acts 17:33, the Bible says, "While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing.'" Of course, this situation was about their concern that they were going to perish in the storm. Their ship was going to go down. But 14 days, Paul said, they hadn't eaten. And because of deep turmoil of soul, they were abstaining from eating food. Back up a little bit to chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 14:23 says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And this was missionaries being sent out from the church in Antioch, and the people of the church were praying and they were fasting. Why? Because they deeply desired that God would bless the work of those missionaries whom they were sending out. And so it was a matter of deep concern for them. And with this burden, these people were fasting. It should also be noted that this is not a requirement, but it's voluntary. And it's something that probably should not be mandated, although Jesus himself said concerning the Pharisees who were fasting just for a show. He said in verse 5, "When thou prayest," he is assuming that they're going to be praying. "When thou prayest, pray not as the hypocrites do, as the Pharisees do. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And then he says the same thing about fasting. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance." And maybe it would be good for all of us to miss a few meals and dedicate ourselves to prayer and fasting. I was listening, I told you the other day that I'd been listening to some old sermons preached by our former pastor, Gordon Silcox, and he was talking about the rapture. And he said, in heaven, he said, "I won't have to worry about baldness or bunions or bulges." And he said about 90% of us have the latter that we need to be concerned about right now. And he was talking about bulges. And of course, that would be true, but it wouldn't hurt any of us to miss a few meals, I don't think. Nobody is so near starvation that it wouldn't do us good to spend some extra time in prayer with fasting, to supercharge our prayer life, to show a deep concern, to show that we are really concerned about a matter that we're praying over. And as I said, it's not a requirement. It's voluntary. Look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, and this is one of the classic passages of Scripture in the Old Testament about fasting. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, that they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. And then verse 5 says, is it such a fast that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? And this kind of reminds me of what Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day. He said, you're just doing this. You're just doing this to be seen of men. You make your face long and make it look like you're skinny, you know, because you haven't been eating. You've been fasting. But it's just for appearances. It's just for appearances. And Isaiah the prophet, giving this people the word of the Lord, he said, you've accused me of not hearing you, not responding to the fact that you are praying and fasting. And you're just doing it for self-serving reasons. And notice verse 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And he talks about here about helping people and about turning people to righteousness and feeding the hungry and benefiting people and not doing this for personal benefit. And so fasting has a great potential for benefit. When people use fasting appropriately, I want the Lord to know that I'm serious about this prayer request, about praying in this situation, about praying for revival. And our revival meeting starts 4 weeks from this coming Sunday with Brother Bob Harbin, and goes Sunday through Thursday. And we ought to pray that God would speak to hearts and revive us, and that and the need warrants extra prayer time, and I believe prayer and fasting for God to do something among us, so everybody knows, oh, it was God that did that, it was God that did that, and it wasn't caused by any other power or any other force, but the Lord did it. For me personally, fasting clears my mind and my body, and fasting gives me more time in the day when I can pray, asking God to bring revival in this case. I don't have to worry about investing myself in mealtime because I'm not eating anyway. And so I can spend that extra time in prayer. And every time my stomach growls, or every time I feel a hunger pain, it reminds me, oh yeah, I've got some special prayer need in mind. And so my prayer is intensified because of fasting. It helps me think more about praying for particular needs and gives me more intensity in my prayer life. I'm taking definite action in this area because it's important to me. And I believe that fasting does all of those things. It has lots of benefits for us, some physical. And God commanded Israel to observe the sabbatical year. Every seventh year, they were to rest the land. And that's not a bad idea, not for us to go a whole year without eating, obviously, but our bodies sometimes need a rest, too. We burden our bodies down with sugars and carbs, and our body gets tired. And it's amazing to me how just fasting for 24 hours can rejuvenate my mind and help me to feel energized, besides giving me more focus in my prayer life. And so there are a lot of benefits to fasting and praying. And especially when we link this with prayer and we say, Lord, I've just got a burden. got a burden. And I want to see you do something special. And I'm invested in this. That's the purpose for the biblical reason for fasting. It's not only good for the human body, but it's also got many spiritual benefits. And those are the ones that we focus on the most intensely, because we need spiritual strength from the Lord. Amen. And we need God to do something. We need for God to make his power and his presence very, very clear, very evident to us. In these days, there's so much crazy stuff going on in our world. We just need to see God's hand. We just need to see God at work. We need to see the Lord doing something remarkable. And so I would challenge the church to a more invested prayer life and even prayer and fasting. And we'll be presenting to you by Sunday sometime some kind of recommended plan. And it's voluntary. Some people say, oh, you know, I can't fast because of medical reasons. That's fine. Nobody is making this a mandatory situation. It ought to be voluntary. Just like we can't mandate that somebody spend so much time every day in prayer. And we would never choose to do that if it's not. Now, on the other hand, if somebody says, you know, I just can't bear the thought of missing meals, that's not okay. That's not okay. How committed are you to being what God wants you to be? How committed are you to the Lord in seeing him work in a marvelous way? Let the Lord direct your life and direct your thoughts and be what God would have you to be. I think it's a great thing when the saints give themselves to prayer and fasting. That's a great thing. And we are opening the door for the Lord to do marvelous things. And we need to see God work. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us, and we